Book Choice, Publisher's Choice with Paige Nick.
Hello and welcome to Book Choice on Fine Music Radio with me, your host, Paige Nick. It's 2 weeks later than it was last time we chatted, and I'm back to talk to you about books, one of my favorite things to talk about. Today we have our special Publisher's Edition Book Choice show for you. And this is a very special show because we are joined today by three of South Africa's top publishers. As always, we've got Penguin Random House, Jonathan Ball Publishers, and the Pan Macmillan Publishing Team. And we're also joined by South Africa's favorite bookseller. That's Exclusive Books. You know who they are, and they're right here today. These industry insiders, these publishing know-it-alls, they're here to tell us what's trending right now, what they've got coming onto bookshelves everywhere for the next month, what's going big around the world, and what you should be looking out for. We're super lucky to have these guys in our Fine Music Radio studio telling us what's what. So, I'm excited. I've got a pen and paper ready to get down some of their suggestions. Mzu's ready. He's brought some killer music. Because we're going to bookend each of these publisher and bookseller segments with some fantastic tracks, because this is Fine Music Radio after all. We've got a great show coming up for you, and we're going to get it all started with Penguin Random House. But before they come up, we're going to play a piece of music. This first track is Let Your Love Shine, and it's by Gavin Minter.
My clothes arrive and take a moment to be still. You may find a seedless bud is how you like to feel. Gather round a wise one, it's you with a learned frown, yeah. The simple sign of laughter will open all that is bound. I don't care if Voltaire or even Sly is what it takes. Say, man, if you got some spare, give it up and look, don't wait. Let your love shine. Let your love shine into the shimmer trails in its wake and greets the sun at dawn. Let your love shine. Let your love shine until I feel the glow within. Tearing at the seams, look for that part of you that takes you to a place where you know your soul can soar and feel your heart with breeze. Checking out a dream blues or stopping with Billy Ray. Don't make no difference to me. Give it up and love, don't wait. Let your love shine. Let your love shine into the shimmer trails in its wake and greets the sun at dawn. Let your love shine. Let your love shine till I feel the glow within. Let it shine on. Let the light come shining. No boundaries, as boundless as the sea. In flight upon a breeze, you can know that love is all you really need. Let your love shine. Let your love shine into the shimmer trails in its wake. On that dawn, oh, let your love shine. Let your love shine till I feel the glow within. Let your love shine. Let your love
Let your love shine into the shimmer trails in its wake and greets the sun at dawn. Oh, let your love shine out. Let your love shine in until I feel the glow within. Glow within.
Welcome back. We've just had our very first track of the show. Before we get into the heavy stuff, we're going to get into the big books, into the things you should be knowing about. So first up, I want to welcome Viz Chetty to the show. Viz Chetty runs the publicity department for Penguin Random House. Now, Penguin is a name everybody knows. It's a household name globally in publishing. And they do a fantastic job here in South Africa, too. Not only do they bring books over from all over the world, they bring them into South Africa and distribute them here, but they also publish a host of incredible South African authors, both in the fiction and non-fiction space. So I'm ready. I'm here for it. I'm here to hear all about it. So I happen to know that Penguin Random House have a book coming up on their lineup by Sven Axelrod. He's one of my favorite South African authors, and I think that's launching in April. So I'm hoping that Viz is going to tell us about that book. I'm hanging for it. Let's hear what you've got, Viz. Is the new Sven Axelrod on your list this month?
Thank you, Paige, and hello to all the FMR listeners. This is Viz Chetty from Penguin Random House. I'm coming to you this month with the big April releases that we have. We are just heating up in 2025. We've got some big titles coming, and you know, once we go into April, May, June, and into the year, all the really good stuff starts coming out. So the first book I want to talk about today is a book by Harlan Coben. The book is called Nobody's Fool. That's out in April. It is the follow-up to Fool Me Once, so you might have read Fool Me Once, or you might have even seen the Netflix series. It's a fantastic series. So there's a character in that book, the detective, and his name is Sam Kias. And this is his story. So Nobody's Fool goes back into his story. He's a young man. He's in Spain. He's touring around with some friends, having a good old time. And he meets this girl. They start hanging out for a few weeks. And after one night of some heavy partying, he gets up and he finds her murdered in the hotel room that he is in. And the story goes from there. So fast forward 20 years later, he's a disgraced detective. He's doing night classes to, you know, make ends meet. And one night he looks at the back of his class and he sees this woman standing there. And even though it's 20 years, he notices that that woman is the same young girl that they apparently was murdered when he was 20 years old. So it's a really interesting take. He goes after her and he tries to uncover exactly what is going on. So Harlan Coben doing what Harlan Coben does best, which is create fast-paced, funny thrillers. If you are not a fan of Harlan Coben and you haven't read one before, pick it up anywhere. I promise you, you will become a fan. So that book is called Nobody's Fool by Harlan Coben. It is the follow-up to the book Fool Me Once. The next book in this section is Tess Gerritsen. The book is Summer Guests, Martini Club Number 2. Now, if you have read the first one, good on you. The book is called Spy Coast. We published it last year. It was the start of a new series by Tess Gerritsen. As you know, she did the Rizzoli and Isles books, which is a fantastic series. She wrote that for many years, over and above all the standalone novels that she had. So this was the start of a brand new series for her. The Spy Coast was number one in the Martini Club. If you liked the Richard Osman series, the Thursday Murder Club, this was in that sort of vein. So if you have read the first one, it was absolutely fantastic. It's about these 60, 70 somethings. They live in the small town of Purity in Maine. They all lived there and they retired and they call themselves a Martini Club because they get together every week and they, you know, just hang out and solve puzzles and things. And I mean, they're really good at what they do. They all used to be ex-CIA, ex-spooks and spies, but they didn't quite know that in the beginning. And our main character is the sort of leader of this club. So in the first book, there's a murder and they have to solve it. In the second book, a young girl goes missing after her family comes to this little town on a holiday. She comes from a very wealthy family and they sort of push to make sure that someone is arrested for the disappearance. And one of the characters in the Martini Club is actually accused of it. So they need to get to the bottom of it as quick as possible. Over and above that, There's a corpse that gets found in a pond, long, long dead. So that's another mystery. So this one, again, it's edgy, it's fast-paced, it's funny. Martini Club number 2, Summer Guests by Tess Gerritsen. That's also out in April. Right, you know, I always have to throw in a bit of non-fiction for all you non-fiction lovers out there. There's a book by Stephen Witt called The Thinking Machine. This is about the story of the, if you like a business biography, if you've read maybe Elon Musk or Shoe Dog or anything of that sort of nature, you would love this novel. So this book is about the company Nvidia, which started 31 years ago in a Denny's restaurant. They used to manufacture gaming hardware, and they eventually, what they are now, is a huge player in the whole AI revolution. So they create the chips that go into the machines, to these supercomputers that power AI. So it's really important for our time. It's a really fantastic take, a business biography on Jensen Huang and his meteoric rise in the last couple of years because of AI. So The Thinking Machine by Stephen Witt, who's a well-renowned journalist. He tracks not just Jensen's story, but the company itself and all the employees. The Thinking Machine is out in April as well. The next one is a Oprah Book Club pick. We published it. We will be publishing it again in April. It's called The Tell by Amy Griffin. You would have seen in the media, you would have seen some things. Oprah picked this book. She talked about it in the last month a lot. And this book is about a young woman who comes from Amarillo, Texas. She sort of comes from nothing. She goes to university. She gets married. She has kids. Everything seems perfect on the outside, except it isn't. Deep down, she's still a very disconnected human being, and she goes into a process of reconnecting with her past and what actually went on when she was very young, and reconnects with herself. And that book is called The Tell by Amy Griffin. If you like books like Educated by Tara Westover, or Priest Daddy by Patricia Lockwood, or even The Body Keeps the Score, you would love this book. So that's The Tell by Amy Griffin. That's out in April. Look out for that one. That will be all over the place when it publishes. Right. Then the next one is a local author. We love our local authors. We really support them. We try and get the best out of them. So Tom Eaton's book is coming out. It's called An Act of Murder. Again, it's in that sort of cozy crime genre. It's about a young man who's a, well, he's not a young man. He's sort of almost a middle-aged man now, and he's an actor. His name is Arnold Prinsloo, and he's an actor. He used to be on this very popular South African soapy, and the show gets cancelled, so he's sort of on the downslope of his career. And one night, he gets a gig to perform a scene from Henry IV on a billionaire's mansion. It's his birthday party. He gets called in to perform this. When he gets there, they realize that Arnold Prinsloo is not Arnold Vosloo, who they thought it was. They feel bad for him. They give him the gig. He performs it. And while he's performing it, he has this terrible altercation between him and the owner of the property. They kick him out. And shortly afterwards, before he exits the property, the owner of the mansion is found dead. And he gets accused of the murder. So it's a caper. He gets up to some serious shenanigans, like disguising himself as a cop so he can investigate his own case. It's hilarious. It's the start again of a series. So there will be 2 more books in this series, but that one is called, this is the first one, An Act of Murder by Tom Eaton. Check it out. It will be out in April as well. And then the last one, I'm going to throw in one last nonfiction title here. Samir Rawji has written a book called Taking the Anxiety Out of AI. I know it's a sort of theme on this segment, but I think it's the buzzword now, and people want to understand exactly what is happening with AI and where it's going to go. I think it's really important that we keep up as well. So this book will help you do that. This book breaks it down very simply into 3 sections: what AI is, where it came from, and where we are headed. Right. And his whole thing is a really positive take on it. So a lot of books now come out and it's almost fear mongering of what AI could be. Samir comes from a place where he's saying AI will make us more human than ever before. It's a great tool, and we should look at it as that. So it's a really positive take on the subject itself. So that book will be out in April as well. So look out for it. The title of that again is Taking the Anxiety Out of AI. Then, if I've still got time, I'm going to chuck in one last one. Sophie Stavah. This is a first book by Sophie Stavah. The book is called Count My Lies. It is about a young woman named Sloane Carraway, and she is a liar. She's a compulsive liar. One day she's at a park. She sees a young girl in tears and upset, and she tells the girl's dad that she's actually a nurse and she can help. She tries to help, and slowly but surely, as this conversation carries on, she becomes the nanny for this very wealthy and privileged family, and somehow infiltrates his family, and that's the start of this really sort of twisty suspense novel. So I think this is a debut, and I think if you liked Lisa Jewell and that sort of author, this would be right up your alley. And that's all I have for this month. Happy reading. As you can see, we've got more and more stuff coming out. This is all the April releases, so you'll look out for them. You'll find them in stores, online, wherever you get your books, you'll find them there. So thank you very much. I will talk to you guys next month.
Thank you, Viz Chetty from Penguin Random House. All right, so I was off. He didn't mention the new Sven Axelrod. Maybe it's coming in May. I'll do my homework and I'll get right back to you. Either way, this new one is coming from Sven Axelrod, and you're going to hear about it a lot from me because I think he's one of my very favorite South African authors, maybe in my top five. But Viz did have a lot of other suggestions that were very enticing. In fact, all of them were enticing. But a few stuck out to me for some reason. The nonfiction in Viz's list is kind of talking to me right now. There was the one on The Thinking Machine. I like the sound of that. And then Taking the Anxiety of AI. Who doesn't need that right now? Tell you what, I'm a writer, and there's a lot of wondering and questioning about how AI is going to fill in. Also, a couple of those fiction titles look very interesting to me. The Harlan Coben. I mean, you can't go wrong if you're a fan. I was on Netflix the other day, and I went into a rabbit hole, and there were so many remakes of his stuff. He's just such a super huge author right now. But I want to talk to you about one of the titles Viz mentioned specifically. And that was The Tell by Amy Griffin. He mentioned that it was an Oprah book pick. Now, this really interests me. And while I was listening to Viz telling us about this book, I did a little bit of research about the Oprah Book Show because I was having a little think about the Oprah Book Club and the impact that it has on book sales. This interests me. So here's the big question. What was the impact of being selected by Oprah on her book club show? And this initially ran from 1996 till April 2002 when she had her show. Now she does it online and she's no longer on TV, but she's just as big, if not bigger, than she ever was. So I'm very curious about the impact of your novel being selected by Oprah. And I can tell you that they've done some very interesting research. The central finding is that not one of the 48 books that Oprah mentioned in her book club show on TV back in the day, 1996 to 2002, was in the top 150 bestsellers in the United States of America in the week before she recommended them. None of them were bestsellers. But every single one of them made that bestseller list in the week after she mentioned them on the show. And they didn't just make that list for a very short period, but they would make that list for at least 3 months. So these books that Oprah handpicked, I've heard she's very specific about the ones she picks. It's not just, she's not being paid to do it. It's not any old book. She wants to handpick these. These books she handpicked became long-term bestsellers. That's pretty incredible. The impact that Oprah Winfrey had when she endorsed a book was so huge, it was guaranteed to become a bestseller and enjoy strong sales for months. They say for retail bookstores, an Oprah pick can produce about $80 million in new sales. Isn't that incredible? And that continues today. Despite her not having a TV show, it still works today. So that's The Tell by Amy Griffin that's been handpicked by Oprah. So there's got to be something interesting in there that we got to look at. So thank you very much, Viz, for the incredible taster of what you guys have got coming out. Always some big hitters. And if you missed any of those titles, we put a podcast of this show online on fmr.co.za straight after the show, so you can go back and have a listen. Otherwise, if you follow Penguin Random House on any of their social media channels, you'll be sure to hear a lot more about these books. So let's move on. We've got another track coming up now before our next publisher. This is the Game of Thrones theme, and it's by Vota Kellerman. Thank you. That was the Game of Thrones theme by Wouter Kellerman. That was a big track, and it highlights some big books, because you're tuned into Book Choice, Publisher's Choice on Fine Music Radio with me, your host, Paige Nick. We're sponsored by Exclusive Books, and we're busy with our hour-long show where we bring you suggestions of books coming out in the next month, giving you an idea of what you want to buy, maybe for yourself or for somebody else. You know, this is that time of year. Easter's coming up, school holidays are coming up, or actually some of us are in school holidays already. We've got lots of public holidays coming up. So this is that time of year where people slow down a little bit and they buy more books because maybe you're going away for the weekend or you've got some downtime. So listen out and see if any of these titles speak to you. Then head into your Exclusive Books or go to Exclusive Books online and get yourself something nice to read for some downtime. We've got the Jonathan Ball team coming up next, and they're going to tell us about what they've got coming up. Welcome to the show, Jonathan Ball Publishers.
Listeners, I'm Kelly Ansara, Marketing and Publicity Director at Jonathan Ball Publishers, and welcome to our Book Choice segment. Over the next few minutes, our incredible sales managers representing publishers across the world will be taking you on a journey around the world in 6 books. These are some of the most exciting new releases, many from debut authors, transporting us back to places like Iran, Ireland, and London. So sit back, relax, and let's explore the world one page at a time.
Good day, I'm Bradley, and I'm starting us off with a book set primarily in 2 countries, the USA and Iran. This is The Persians by Sanam Maluji. In Iran, the Valiat family were somebodies, but in the US, they are nobodies. We meet a colourful cast of characters. First, there is Elizabeth, the regal matriarch with the famously large nose, who remained in Tehran despite the revolution. She lives alone in a shabby apartment, except when she is visited by Niaz, her young Islamic law-breaking granddaughter. This is a page-turning and darkly funny sweeping novel about a family in crisis that packs an emotional punch following 3 generations of Iranian women between the United States and Iran. It combines biting humor with a moving big family story and an Iranian twist. Now we're off to Dublin, Ireland, and this beautiful debut is called Nesting by Roisin O'Donnell. One spring afternoon, Kira Faye makes a split-second decision to leave her abusive husband. Kira straps her 2 young daughters into her car and drives away. But with dwindling funds, she finds herself adrift, navigating raising her children in a hotel room, searching for a new home, and dealing with her husband's relentless campaign to get her to come back. Because leaving, of course, is one thing, but staying away is another. This is tense and underpinned by unassailable love, hope, and resilience. It's the story of one woman's bid to start over.
I'm Bumim Gilana, and I'll be talking about 2 fantastic debuts that are coming up in the upcoming months.
The 3 Lives of Kate K is a debut novel by Kate Fagan, which takes us on a journey across 3 places: upstate New York, Plattsburgh, and Charleston, South Carolina. We get to follow the mysterious life of Kate K, the world's most famous author, who has somehow remained completely anonymous. Despite her best-selling novels and the blockbuster film franchise, Kate K's real identity is kept a secret. The story revolves around Anne Marie Callan, a woman who once ran away from her past and now lives under the name Cass Ford. But as Kate K is finally ready to reveal her true self, secrets start to unravel, and the story explores themes of ambition, love, and the painful truths we try to hide. The big question is, will Kate K's revelation change how we view her? Or are some betrayals too much to forgive? This novel dives deep into identity, the cost of fame, and the possibility of redemption. The second book I'd like to talk about is The Boyhood of Cain. It is set in the heart of England, and it is a poignant debut novel about a young boy called Danny who grapples with the complexities of love and identity as he approaches adulthood. Living in a large house near the school where his father is a headmaster, Danny enjoys certain privileges, but he also feels isolated from his classmates. When a new boy, Philip, arrives and wants to befriend him, he is super excited and he begins to feel a sense of hope. Along with Philip, he finds a mentor in an inspiring teacher called Mr. Miller. But unfortunately, all good things do come to an end. And Danny's father loses his job and their home, and his world just starts to unravel. Suddenly, Danny finds himself shut out from both Mr. Miller and Philip's lives. Desperate to repair the damage, Danny struggles to find his place, but his efforts may spiral out of control. This is a heartfelt story of growing up, belonging, and the fragile nature of relationships.
Hi, my name is Mark, and I'm from the team at Jonathan Ball. And I'm excited to speak to you about two really interesting, fascinating reads that are going to be coming from our friends in the UK, Hachette Books. The first book is called Broken Country by Claire Leslie Hall. It is set predominantly in the UK, and this book is being called this generation's Bridges of Madison County. It's a dramatic love story with the pulse of a thriller, and it follows a woman called Beth and her husband Frank, who live a very quiet, idyllic life in a sleepy village just outside of London. Their lives change when Beth's husband shoots a dog that belongs to none other than her lover from many years ago called Gabriel. Gabriel was the first love of Beth's life, and he really broke her heart by leaving unexpectedly. Her life was put together by her now husband, Frank, and unbeknownst to her and to Frank, Gabriel has made his way back to the sleepy village that they call home. And with this revelation, Beth realizes that her feelings for Gabriel have not gone away and they have laid dormant. And the question that the book looks at is, what does life look like when a second chance you didn't expect to arrive comes about again? There's a lot of family drama. There's a lot of intrigue. There's a mystery that needs to be unpacked in this book, and it promises to be an exciting and riveting read. The next book that I wanted to speak to you about is quite an interesting book. It's called Who Wants to Live Forever? This is a debut by Hannah Thomas Usay, and this book is partly set in Tokyo and partly set in London. What makes this even more complex is that it's set over different timelines as well. And it follows the story of two people, Yuki and Sam, who fall in love and get married, and they consider each other their soulmate. Now, what happens is that a miracle drug is invented, which gives the person who takes the drug the ability to live forever. And Sam decides to take the drug for himself, where Yuki decides she's not going to take the drug. She is going to live a normal life and pass away. Now, what do you do when the love of your life, your soulmate, decides that they're going to live forever and you have decided that that's not what you want? And that's what this novel is all about. It unpacks difficult, complex questions like that, exploring what does a happy ever after romance look like without the happy ever after. And it promises to be a really engaging, really thoughtful read.
Thank you so much for listening. And you can find all these books at your local favorite bookstore. Happy reading.
Ooh, thank you to the Jonathan Ball Publishing team. That is a juicy, juicy list. Who Wants to Live Forever? I love a conceptual thriller like that. And I really, the sound of that is so enticing. These high concept novels often hit the shelves and I'm always interested in them. They always stick out in my mind. For some reason, I find them easier to remember than regular genre fiction. They kind of stay with me. I tend to carry on thinking about them long after. I think of them as the what if books. Like, what if this happened in the world? Or what if that happened to you? From the Jonathan Ball list, I also want to mention that book, The Persians. I think Bradley mentioned it. I was at the book lounge in Roland Street, which is an incredible independent bookstore, and I was chatting to the owner, Mervyn, and I asked him what he was reading right now. I always like to ask him what he's reading. I'm curious about what he reads. I also really trust his opinion. I know how much he reads and how he knows so much about the publishing industry. And anyway, so he said he was reading The Persians right now. I asked him what it was like, and he said it's fantastic and that he can't put it down and that he wasn't expecting to enjoy it so much. He picked it up out of curiosity after one of the publishers recommended it to him and just started reading it. And you know what? He had that look on his face, and I knew that he meant it. I could see that he couldn't wait to get home from work to pick that book up again and carry on reading. And it's that kind of personal recommendation of books that really works for me. I trust him as a reader and as a bookseller, and so when he says that something's that good, it makes me think I want to read it. I also see that this book, The Persians, has been longlisted for the Women's Prize this year, so that's also a pretty good recommendation. Thank you so much to the Jonathan Ball Publishing team for putting these books on our radar. You can find the Jonathan Ball team on social media. They give away a lot of books, and they've always got exciting things going on. They've also got a podcast called Pagecast, which I very much enjoy. I do recommend you follow them. We've got another track coming up now. Where Were You Taking Me To by the Soweto String Quartet. Take it away, Mzu. That was Where Were You Taking Me To by the Soweto String Quartet. I don't know where they were taking you to, but I'm taking you to this next segment on Book Choice, Publisher's Choice here on Fine Music Radio. My name is Paige Nick, and as you know, I'm your host today. And this show is sponsored by Exclusive Books. We have, as I've told you before, three of South Africa's top publishers. We've already heard from two of them. And we've also got South Africa's number one bookseller still to come. And they're all here to tell you what books you should be looking out for. Next up, we've got my own personal publisher, Pan Macmillan. The Pan Macmillan team are here and they're going to tell us what they've got going on. Welcome to the show.
Hello, lovely listeners. This is Nkanyezi from Pan Macmillan with your favorite Publisher's Choice segment on Fine Music Radio, where we explore the latest and greatest in the literary world. And Paige, Nick and her team make us sound brilliant while doing it. Thank you. Today, we've curated a selection of books that promise to enlighten and entertain and inspire. And these dazzling new releases will be on shelves this April. Let's get started. First up, I know you've heard it before, and I'm going to tell you about it again. We dive into Book People by our very own Paige Nick. Some of you might know Paige from Fine Music Radio, but to us, she's an accomplished writer known for her savagely funny satire. In Book People, Paige takes us on a journey through the landscape of online media and cancel culture. Let me tell you a bit about what it's about. Norma Jacobs is your average accountant, running a book club on Facebook and living quietly with her gamer boyfriend in London, except for the part where she's being threatened by a deranged author and questioned by the police about attempted murder, all just as she started a new job as the only 42-year-old intern in the history of publishing. Harry Shields is a crime writer desperate to hit the big time when a negative review of his latest book on Norma's Page results in him having a spectacular public meltdown. He gets cancelled, his events get cancelled, and before you can say author behaving badly, he's plotting revenge and stalking his nemesis. By the time Harry's gone viral and Norma's given up trying to stop him, the online book club has over 100,000 rowdy members and the comments section is a literal riot. Entertaining? Until one member ends up in a coma. This is a fiercely funny novel about online media and cancel culture for everyone who thinks books are harmless. Paige will be launching her book on Wednesday, the 9th of April at the Book Lounge at 6 p.m. I dare you to miss it. Next, we have Crossfire by the late and still legendary Wilbur Smith. Smith returns to his famous Courtney series in this brand new World War II thriller, showcasing his unparalleled ability to craft gripping adventures. It's 1943. The tide of the Second World War is turning. The Russian victory at Stalingrad, the bloodiest battle in history, has opened the door for the Allies. Now, they must strike decisively at the heart of Hitler's Reich, but military success cannot be guaranteed without total secrecy. Special Operations Executive Saffron Courtney is sailing from the west coast of Scotland to New York on the Queen Mary. Her mission? To identify the mole in the British Embassy in Washington, D.C. before Churchill and Roosevelt begin the talks that will determine British and American military strategy in the wake of the Russian victory. Haunted by ghosts of her previous mission in the Low Countries and with dangerous agents on her tail, Saffron must find the spy who can derail the Allied advance. But time is running out. Will Saffron complete her mission, or will she succumb to the shadows of her past? Wilbur Smith is a master storyteller. And no one does adventure quite like he does. This is book 25 in the long-running epic historical saga of the Courtney family and the follow-on from the world bestsellers Courtney's War and The Legacy of War. That's Crossfire by Wilbur Smith out this April. Now we move on to The Next Day by Melinda French Gates. In this rare window into some of her most pivotal life moments and drawing from previously untold stories, Melinda offers a new perspective on encountering transitions. You don't get to be my age without navigating all kinds of transitions, says Melinda. Some you embraced and some you never expected. Some you hoped for and some you fought as hard as you could. In The Next Day, Melinda reflects for the first time in print on some of the most significant transitions in her own life, including becoming a parent, the death of a dear friend, and her departure from the Gates Foundation. The story she tells illuminates universal lessons about throwing perfectionism out of the window, embracing uncertainty, the life-giving power of friendship, and more. This is the perfect book club read. It's a stunning gift for a sister or your favorite girlfriend and wholesome coffee table talk with the whole family, female and male. That's The Next Day by Melinda French Gates. Moving on to another inspirational title, I present to you To the Women by Donna Ashworth, a heartfelt tribute to women everywhere. This book celebrates strength, resilience, and the undeniable power of womanhood. Donna Ashworth's words are an uplifting reminder of the solidarity and spirit shared among women, making it a perfect gift for the important women in your life. Originally self-published in 2020 with 48 poems, this beautiful gift hardback edition has been fully revised and updated, complete with over 70 new poems, such as Be That Woman, When One Woman Screams, There Will Be Days, and To the Woman Who Thinks She Isn't Good Enough. I'm going to do a reading from her brilliant poem called Take Up Space. Take up space. The best advice I could give any young woman is not to wish yourself smaller. You must take up space in this world. How else will you make the impact you were born to? Don't wish yourself less. Either you are loud, you are passionate, you are messy, and that's a beautiful thing to behold. The world needs you to be big. The world needs you to be bold. The world cries for you to break and rebuild without shame and to stop apologizing for everything you're not. You must take up space in this world. Don't shrink. Never shrink. To the Woman by Donna Ashworth is full of wisdom and comfort every woman needs to hear. And it helps us to see that we're never walking alone. Now on to something totally different. From the internationally bestselling author of The Serpent and the Wings of Night, Slaying the Vampire Conqueror by Carissa Broadbent is a dark fantasy romance filled with heart-pounding passion, vengeful gods, and betrayal. What are people saying about Carissa? Oh my, that was absolutely wild. The slow burn is perfect and I really enjoy the pace. Carissa has made another masterpiece. This is excellent fantasy romance. Well done, Carissa. This is a standalone fantasy novel, so you can read it without having to read the previous in the series, but I encourage you. The storytelling, the relationships, the world building is epic and on another level. It's perfect for fans of The Bridge Kingdom by Danielle Jensen and Jennifer L. Armentrout's From Blood and Ash series. Discover a whole new world through this novel that you'll want to sink your teeth into. Before I bid you farewell, this is a quick note to say that the program for the 2025 Franschhoek Literary Festival will soon be live. Make sure you tell your family and your friends. You do not want to miss this one. Especially not as best-selling author Kate Moss will be back in South Africa to conclude her brilliant and epic Joubert family series. The dates for the festival this year are 16 to 18 May. That's all for today, Publisher's Choice. Remember, books are not just stories. They're gateways to new perspectives and new worlds. Be sure to tune in next time as we bring you more literary treasures. Until then, happy reading.
Thank you so much, Nkanyezi, from Pan Macmillan. Well, that's a cool thing. I mean, my new book is out. It's called Book People. And Nkanyezi was talking about it there a little bit in her segment. And how cool to be alongside Wilbur Smith and Melinda Gates and Kate Moss. Those are some big names. That's a lot to live up to. But yeah, so what can I tell you about my new book, Book People? It's a comedy, or at least I hope it's a comedy. You'll have to read it, and I'm sure you'll tell me if you don't think it's a comedy at all. It's about a bunch of book lovers who literally lose the plot. So, you know, they say you should write what you know, and I run a book club on Facebook that has 23,000 members. It's called the Good Book Appreciation Society. Please do come join us. And so I wrote a book about a book club on Facebook called the Good Book Appreciation Society. So I hope you'll join me at the launch if you're in Cape Town. It's on the 9th of April at the Book Lounge in Roland Street at 5:30 for 6. Or if you're in Joburg, it's on the 16th of April and it's at Love Books. I would love to see you there. If you see me somewhere, do come up and let me know that you listen to the show, because often I sit on the other side of this microphone and I forget that there are actually people out there listening. So it would be nice to meet some of you and to see you at the launch. So thank you to the Pan Macmillan team. That was a fantastic list, not just because I'm on it, but there were some really great books on there. We're going to cut to a piece of music now, all selected by the incredible, the outstanding Mzuma Keita. And then we'll come back and welcome the exclusive books team to the show. Was Englishman in New York by Charles Duplessis and Zanta Hoffmeyer. So we've reached our final segment of the show, and we're joined now by our wonderful sponsors, Exclusive Books. Batya Bricker is here to tell us what Exclusive Books are really excited about selling this month of April.
You know how sometimes you read a book and you can actually smell the dust being described, or feel the wind through your hair, or hear the voices as if you were in the same room? Hi, I'm Batya Bricker from Exclusive Books, and today I wanted to talk about some of the new books hitting our shelves. Books with voices so loud, you can hear them whispering over your shoulder long after the last page. The first is The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins, and it seems like absolutely everyone is talking about this book. Reading a book by Mel feels like you are debriefing with a good friend and a glass of wine. She is an Ivy League educated criminal defense lawyer and entrepreneur, and her quick wit and advice on relationships have made her a global sensation in publishing and beyond. And this is what she promises for the book. If you've ever felt stuck, overwhelmed, or frustrated with where you are, the problem isn't you. The problem is the power you give to other people. Two simple words, let them, will set you free. Using the same no-nonsense, science-backed approach that made the Mel Robbins podcast a global sensation, Robbins explains why the Let Them Theory is already loved by millions and how you can apply it in 8 key areas of your life to make the biggest impact. Now, I hear your voice saying, but this idea is far from revolutionary. Philosophers like the Stoics and countless others have articulated this concept for centuries. Accept what you must, control what you can, and make empowered choices rooted in reality. And I agree, not to mention that Cassie Phillips's poem, Let Them, seems to have been referenced here with no acknowledgement to the author. And in fact, of course, it's problematic. And Phillips has already filed a lawsuit against Robbins. But for me, what makes all the difference is Mel's invaluable addition to the Let Them theory that Cassie Phillips originally articulated. She bolts on 3 extra words, and let me, and that changes everything. Why I have found this 5-word mantra, let them and let me, so effective is that it moves my attention from trying to let something go, which can be really hard and sometimes you're not even successful, to a point of self-reflection and an action plan almost on what am I going to do practically right now to make myself into the best version of myself regardless. And it gets you out of your head, that swirling on repeat that we all know so well, and moves you to a place of action and progress. And it's really working for me. So I recommend you look at this if this appeals. And then a totally different voice that demands hearing, a literary voice that we've been waiting for 10 years to hear again, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, and her new book is called Dream Count. It's taken those 10 years for the new book from this award-winning author who wrote Americana and Purple Hibiscus, and it was worth the wait. The pundits are saying that this is her best work yet, and I agree. Adichie's observation as an African living in the diaspora are exquisite and fine and totally relatable. This is the story about 4 interconnected women by blood or friendship, the pandemic cutting through the setting or fading in the background, and the woman's hopes and dreams in the foreground. It explores with a keen eye the conflicting tug of familial obligation and national expectation versus navigating your own path and trotting your own way. It's also about love, of course, relationships and dignity and self-care, a sense of identity, and the courage to live your life with purpose and confidence. Chiamaka is a Nigerian travel writer living in America, and alone in the midst of the pandemic, she recalls her past lovers and grapples with her choices and regrets. Zakora, her best friend, is a lawyer who has been successful at everything until, betrayed and brokenhearted, she must turn to the person she thought she needed least. Omilagor, Chiamaka's bold, outspoken cousin, is a financial powerhouse in Nigeria who begins to question how well she knows herself. And then Kadiotu, Chiamaka's housekeeper, is proudly raising her daughter in America, but faces an unthinkable hardship that threatens all she has worked hard to achieve. In Dream Count, Adichie trains her fierce eye on these four women in a sparkling, transcendent novel. Is true happiness ever attainable, or is it just a fleeting state? She asks. How honest must we be with ourselves in order to love and to be loved? It's about daughters and mothers, our interconnected world, and Dream Count pulses with emotional urgency and poignancy in a language that soars with beauty and power. It confirms Adichie's status as one of the most exciting and dynamic writers on the literary landscape, and my heart ached and soared as I immersed myself in her world. And now for something completely different. The Cat Who Cracked a Cold Case by L.T. Shearer taps into the huge trend of mashup genres with cozy crime and a global obsession with cats. If you're wondering whose voice you are hearing now, it's Conrad the Cat Detective, and this is book number 3 in the series. It's perfect for a little bit of light-hearted fun, tapping into that cat fanatic trend and cozy crime literary wave. It's a good choice for fans of Richard Osman and S.J. Bennett. The life of Lulu Lewis, a retired police detective, took an unforgettable turn when Conrad first introduced himself to her. Unforgettable because Conrad is a special cat, and also special because he told her so. Yes, he can talk. Visiting an old friend in Manchester, the pair stumble across a chilling news report about a trail of bodies found across the city that echo a string of cold case murders from Lulu's past. Joining forces with the local police, the pair must use every ounce of their intuition in order to find a connection between the seemingly random killings and track down a ruthless murderer. This read is some frothy fun for a rainy Sunday afternoon. The next book, Follow Me to Africa, by South African-born and raised Penny Hoare, is featured on the selection of Exclusive Books Recommends for April, and it's a worthy pick indeed. You may remember from a while back a remarkable story called The Invincible Miss Cust about Aileen Cust, the first female vet in Britain. It was one of my favorite reads in the historical fiction genre, and I lapped up every detail. Follow Me to Africa is Hoare's imaginings of Mary Leakey's life, who became one of the world's most distinguished paleoanthropologists, despite not having a formal education. Her passion, determination, curiosity, and hard work earned her prestigious awards and 4 honorary doctorate degrees. This is a woman who knew her mind and knew how to voice it, and her voice is so strong, her opinions so vociferous. Reading the book, I felt like I had met Mary in real life. It's a dual timeline tale that explores the consequences of our choices, wisdom that comes with retrospection, and relationships that make us who we are, based on the extraordinary life of this extraordinary woman. It's a sweeping exploration of intergenerational friendship, meditation on the beauty of the natural world, and a celebration of woman who paved the way for those to come. And that's you and me. I lapped up every word. So here are 4 very different books with voices and messages resonant and impactful in their respective ways. Each one is worthy of a listen or a read, and all are available at Exclusive Books.
Thank you so much, Batya. What a fascinating segment, and what an epic list. And how interesting is this, right? So as Batya was talking about the first book, the Let Them series by Mel Robbins, I was thinking about how I've noticed that there's been this big boom in nonfiction titles that are about self-betterment and progress. I think people today are looking to better themselves, and they take that quite seriously. They take self-love very seriously. I also think we take self-betterment seriously. And I feel like this genre is really booming right now. And then as I was thinking about that, the other book that Batya mentioned is The Cat Who Cracked a Cold Case. And that struck me as that's another genre that's really booming right now, is books about cats, cozy crime, and books about cats. People seem to love it. So I thought, well, that's interesting. She's talked one about self-help, which is really booming right now, and then another book about cats that's also booming right now. And then the last book she mentioned by Penny Hoare, Follow Me to Africa. So I can tell you I'm a huge fan of Penny Hoare. I've mentioned her on the show many times. But what Penny Hoare has done is made a real art out of taking these historical figures and fictionalizing them. And interestingly enough, historical fiction is another genre that's absolutely booming right now. It's a category that has grown in the last year and a half exponentially. So 3 of the books that Batya mentioned really feed into global trends. And then, of course, the Adichie book, Dream Count. It's just already a massive, massive bestseller. This is going to be one of the biggest books of the year. That's my prediction, and I can't wait to read it. And that brings us to the end of the show. I want to say thank you so much for joining us. A huge thank you to Penguin Random House, to Jonathan Ball Publishers, to my publisher, Pan Macmillan, and to the Exclusive Books team for joining us. They're bringing us their books, bringing us their time, bringing us their knowledge and expertise. I also have to thank Mzuma Keta for the wonderful job he does compiling the music for us and pulling this whole show together with such grace and style. So until next time, I'm going to say happy reading. We're going to play out with Every Time We Say Goodbye by track 5. And Every Time We Say Goodbye, I'm more excited to see you next time in 2 weeks' time. Thank you for listening.
Every time we say goodbye, I die a little.
screen.